Previously on Small Town Shadows, Renata, a struggling pianist, met a peculiar fortune teller one lonely night at a diner. He predicted fame and fortune in her future, bestowed upon her by a mysterious red piano, just as long as she practiced religiously and only allowed him to tune and polish it. And just as foretold, a beautiful piano arrived at the auditorium where Renata practices, launching her down the path to her inevitable. Good evening and welcome to Small Town Shadows. I am your host, Victoria, and I am here to weave you a tale that is sure to send shivers down your spine. As always, the following account is based on real events. However, the names and locations have been changed to protect the privacy of those involved. Please keep in mind that these narratives are not for the faint of heart and may frighten or disturb you. But now, before you get too comfortable, you should go turn off your lights. It's time to relax, clear your mind, and sip some tea as I take you back to the small town of Kovrov, Russia.
All right, places everyone. Curtain call is in 2 minutes. Renata, your solo is going to be before the intermission now. There was a misprint on the program, but rather than give a pointless speech explaining the error, it's easier to just move your piece up.
Boris announced to his orchestra, who were quickly preparing for the show. Renata smiled. She couldn't help but say a quick prayer of thanks, feeling that the error in the program was in her favor. There were bound to be reporters and agents in the auditorium, and she was ready to charm them. Massaging her fingers once more, she closed her eyes and envisioned deep, blood-red roses being tossed onto the stage just for her. And almost exactly how Renata imagined, the patrons stood to applaud her as she nailed the outro. And she took a long, deliberate bow before returning to her seat to begin the next song, joined by the rest of the orchestra. Shows continued in this nature for the next 3 months. It was addicting to Renata to receive such recognition from the press, although they hadn't coined her the Siren of Russia just yet. She was also receiving a ridiculous amount of phone calls from different agencies begging to represent her. But she didn't want to tie herself to anyone just yet, not until she spoke to the gentleman again. She knew he would show up soon, as he promised, since she would definitely need to tune the piano before the big show at the end of August, and thought that the piano could probably use a good polish as well. It was beginning to look a little browner rather than red, which disconcerted her, considering she was told that the redder it got, the more successful she would be. It wasn't until the wee hours of the morning, a day before the big show, that a gentleman waltzed into the hall and greeted Renata like an old friend.
"I see you've heeded my advice about practicing until your fingers bleed." The man laughed at his own joke. He began to lower the fallboard on top of the piano keys, as Renata quickly retracted her hands just in time for him to not clip them. She then jumped up and embraced him.
Thank you. Everything you predicted has begun to come true. How can I ever repay you?
Renata hadn't released the seer from her grasp yet. Simply play, my dearest. Play until your heart's content. The more you play, the happier I am that my prediction was honest. I am a simple man, and I ask nothing else from you except that you achieve all that I saw within the leaves. He smiled, gently pushing Renata off. Now, if you would be so kind, I need to be alone so that I may commune with the spirits that gifted you this instrument. They are shy and do not take well to strangers. Go, hurry along home now. Tomorrow, when you arrive for your show, this beauty will be fully restored. He brushed a finger over Renata's angular cheek. She blushed a pale pink, then scurried off, leaving the man alone to do what he must. Renata ran right past the diner on her way to the bus stop. She hadn't been to work in months. She never even bothered to resign. She just stopped showing up and refused to answer their phone calls. Her mission was to achieve stardom, and waitressing wasn't going to help her with that. She was quickly becoming the star musician in her orchestra, and it was why almost every show has been sold out since the season started. Boris no longer had any reason to scold her for being late, since she was always the first one at the auditorium and the last one to leave. Today was no different. She arrived hours before Boris instructed, and this allowed her to fulfill her obligation of practicing day and night to achieve her inevitable. She barely noticed the hunger pains, the soreness in her fingertips, or the paling of her complexion. All she cared about was playing, improving, and climbing the ladder to fame. Then she would eat, then she would sleep, then she could relax, but not until then. Not until she was known as the Siren of Russia. As she approached the stage, she couldn't help but tear up. There, in the center, was her red piano, gleaming and majestic. She admired how well the gentleman had polished the piano. There was no trace of brown in the woodworking. It was a brilliant crimson red once again. A tear slipped down her cheek, catching in the dimple created by her smile. She sat down, and without hesitation, without concern for the aching in her fingertips, she began to practice her solo for that evening's final season performance. Celebrity soon engulfed Renata, and with it came a high demand for her to perform. She was whisked all over the world to perform at important events to serenade important people, and all the while she lapped it up, enjoying every moment of it. Her gentleman seer always seemed to show up exactly where she needed, no matter the country or the time of day. It was rather uncanny how the moment she would hit a note and the sound would tink out of tune, or when the spotlight would be tested during rehearsal and her piano gave off the appearance of a deep brown rather than red. In dire need of a polish, poof, Renata's auger would appear. And he always had a warm smile for her as he ushered her out of the room to set the piano right again. One of her favorite pastimes when she couldn't be playing the piano was reading the newspaper articles headlined with the words "Siren of Russia" in and about. She had achieved her inevitable, and she couldn't be happier. Even the fortune teller would congratulate her, and he always seemed so engaged when she would read the newspaper articles out loud to him. But today's news article didn't exactly please her, and she was secretly grateful he wasn't around to listen to this one. It was still about her, so she couldn't really complain. As long as they talked about her, she was still famous. All publicity is good publicity. The Siren of Russia. More like the anorexic of Russia, some American tabloid proclaimed. I'm hardly anorexic. I eat. How else would I be alive? Renata rolled her eyes and threw the article down. People are just jealous. It's actually flattering that you think I'm anorexic. It means I'm important enough to you for you to pay such close attention to me. She tried to pick the newspaper up again, to fully read the article now that she had decided she wanted to know what jealous people thought of her. But after a few feeble attempts, she couldn't seem to get her sore fingers to do their job, so she gave up. Oh, who cares? she exclaimed to no one as she began massaging her fingers. Renata pushed the article from her mind as she headed to the opera house, excited to start practicing.
There you are, my sweet.
Sitting down, she pressed her fingers to the cool, ivory teeth of the red piano. An unfortunate sound echoed around the hall, and Renata gasped.
You need to be tuned again?
Wringing her hands, Renata was surprised.
I feel like you were just tuned. Why would you need to be tuned so much more frequently now?
Worried, she began to wonder if she were doing something wrong to cause this problem.
Calm your nerves, my dearest.
The voice put a stop to Renata's frenzied train of thought.
You know the drill. Leave me be, and when you return tonight, you shall play once again like the angel you are upon this lovely instrument.
The gentleman gently ushered Renata off the stage.
Oh, I'm so pleased to see you, sir,
Renata started to say, but her voice caught in her throat as she swayed where she stood and pressed a hand to her forehead.
I'm sorry, I just feel a little dizzy, that's all. I'm gonna go back to my hotel and rest. Thank you.
Renata didn't look at the fortune teller as she stumbled out of the hall. She was too busy trying to make the room stop spinning around her. The gentleman began working the moment he thought Renata closed the door behind herself. What he didn't know was that she had, in fact, fainted just outside the door, wedging it open ever so slightly. When Renata roused herself moments later, she tried to remember how she got on the floor in the lobby outside of the hall. Her head was still foggy, she was having a difficult time seeing straight, and her mouth had gone dry, as if it were full of sand or cotton. She sat up, using the door in which her foot was propped open to steady herself and lean against. And that's when she heard an unusual sound. At first, she thought it was the sound of her brain jostling about behind her eyes. The room was still spinning, and she felt as though she could throw up. But the sound had an odd cadence to it and felt further away rather than within her own head. Focusing her eyes, doing her best to stop seeing double, she peered into the music hall. She saw her fortune teller bent over her red piano, holding up a cylinder of some kind. It was full of something that looked thick and almost brown, although when she blinked a few more times to steady her vision, she thought the substance changed color and that it now looked red. And then she heard the unusual sound again, closing one eye, hoping that would help make sense of what she was seeing. Renata covered her mouth to stop herself from throwing up. Her secret admirer was drinking a third cylinder he had removed from beneath the keys of her piano. The reddish-brown liquid seemed to pour down his throat as easily as water.
What is he drinking? Why were those things in my piano? Am I dreaming?
Renata's head continued to spin, and the more she tried to focus on the piano, the man, and his beverages, the foggier her vision became. She closed her eyes again, trying to will her brain to steady itself, trying to convince herself to feel better. But as she opened her eyes again, the door inched open a little more, pushing her aside. As she fell, she braced herself for impact, and she noticed her hand was bleeding. Blood seemed to be pouring out of every fingertip. Distracted, she failed to keep herself upright, and just as her head hit the moist, blood-stained carpet and the taste of metal filled her mouth, she caught one last glimpse of her red piano. It was glistening, as if wet, sparkling where the spotlight danced off its surface. But it wasn't water or polish or oil that was giving the piano its glow. Renata didn't know why or how, but for some reason, she instantly knew that her piano was coated in her own blood.
The Siren of Russia, gone but never forgotten, were the words that graced many news outlets for weeks following the discovery of Renata Orlov's body at the Sydney Opera House. Her death was ruled a suicide when the coroner announced that she was bleeding herself daily by having inserted tiny microscopic needles into the keys of her piano. It was a slow and arduous death, but she clearly died where she wanted to. These were the words of comfort the detective gave the Orlov family when she informed them that Renata's body would arrive at the Ivanovo South Airport the next morning. She also informed them that the red piano was unfortunately missing. It never made it into evidence, nor was seen by anyone after her body was found. She was alone, sitting on the bench, her torso bent over the keys of her piano. She was painting all the ivory teeth a brilliant shade of red as she was bleeding out in the center of the stage, the spotlight still on her.
Do you believe that a creature cursed with an unquenchable thirst for human blood goes around bestowing a weapon disguised as a gift upon his victims? Do you believe that such a being would prey upon the weak and vulnerable by simply granting them their every desire, only to take it all away in the end? Do you believe in the red piano? I'd love to hear what you think. Tell me your thoughts, theories, and experiences in the comment section below. I do have a quick announcement to make before I bid you goodnight. Due to the production value and labor intensity that each episode requires, we have decided to alter our airing schedule. Starting with today's episode, Small Town Shadows will now post new episodes every first Friday of the month. So if you haven't subscribed yet, I implore you to do so. The more subscribers and the more views on each video, the more videos we will be able to produce. It would be immensely appreciated, and you would be helping Small Town Shadows continue to spook you. And on that note, sleep tight, and don't forget to check under your bed for any lurking guests.